Hi everyone, welcome to our midweek service. If you have your Bibles with you, kindly open your Bibles to Exodus 17 as we continue our study on the book of Exodus. Exodus 17, and we will be reading from verses 1 to 7. Exodus 17. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Exodus 17, verses 1 to 7. Beloved, the word of the Lord. Shall we come down to the Lord of the word in prayer? Loving God, we praise you for your great providence that has taken us here in this section of Scripture. As we study this Old Testament narrative, may you allow the meditations of our hearts and minds and the words that would come out of my mouth be glorifying and acceptable to you. We pray that you would teach us and preach to our hearts. This is our heart's cry in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Hello everyone. Before we begin our study on the book of Exodus, let me just share with you one of my favorite hymns. Isa sa mga favorite kong hymns po, yung Rock of Ages. That great hymn written by Augustus Taplady in the 1700s. Ito po yung Rock of Ages nga po. And let me just read to you the first few lines of this beautiful hymn. "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Did you know that this points to what happened in Exodus? Ito pong first few lines ng Rock of Ages, it points to a specific point in the book of Exodus. And it points us to what happened in Exodus 33. Remember, yung Israelites po, they are going through their wilderness wanderings, or as we have called it, the wilderness university. And that is to test them, that is to grow them. And in chapter 33, as they are commanded to leave Mount Sinai, remember that God said to Moses that He will just send an angel. Dahil sobrang titigas ng ulo ng mga taong ito. Sabi ng Diyos, "I will just send an angel to you. I will not go before you." Listen to the language of Exodus 33, verse 1 to 3. The Lord, Exodus 33 po tayo, right? "The Lord said to Moses, 'Depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your offspring I will give it. I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey. But I will not go up among you, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." Sabi ng Diyos, "I will not go before you. I will not go with you. I will just send an angel kasi baka mainis pa ako sa inyo dahil matigas ang ulo nyo." Remember, at that point, Moses interceded for the nation. At naalala niyo yung bold request ni Moses, 33 verse 18. Moses said, "Please show me your glory." He was saying, I know that you are an awesome God. Huwag niyo pong kalimutan ang inyo pong lupang pangako, lupang hinirang, right? But I want you to show me your glory. Verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord, that is Yahweh. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. Sabi ng Panginoon Diyos, yes, you're requesting for me to show you my glory, but you cannot survive my glory, right? And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. Pay attention to the language. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Ito yung picture na nakita natin sa first few lines ng hymn na Rock of Ages. God's awesome presence and protection. And sabi diba, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Ito yung cleft, ito yung bato na kung saan pinaglagyan ng Panginoon Diyos kay Moses as he passes through that to show him his glory. And so, ito yung theme. And so we would be probably anticipating na yung the rest of the hymn would be talking about that, di ba? Sabi natin again, the first two lines points to this wonderful event in Exodus 33. And so we would anticipate na the rest of this hymn would be talking about the same. But listen to the rest of the hymn. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. That's the cleft of the rock that was mentioned in Exodus 33. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save me from its guilt and power. Teka lang, parang why all of a sudden from the imagery and the picture in Exodus 33, now we see the rest of the lines that follow the first two lines, it's giving us an imagery of the cross. What's going on here? And this is very profound. And we need to go through this. And this is very profound because what we see here is not just the rock that hid Moses dun sa pag-pass by ng Panginoong Diyos to hide his glory. What we see here are two different rocks. What we see here is the rock sa Exodus 33 and the rock in Exodus 17. As the writer blends them together, right? And to show wonderful things about God and Israel and about faith. And that is what we will be looking at today as we go back to the wilderness wanderings of Israel. Sabi natin, we liken this experienced by the nation Israel into going to university. Let me remind you again, and I think it's just right for me to mention these quotes again from Ryken and Clement of Rome. Sabi ng ganun ni Ryken, going through the wilderness was not necessary for Israel's salvation, but necessary for their sanctification. Kasi God will be testing them. God will be stretching their faith. Clement of Rome says this about the sanctifying purpose of the wilderness. And let me just read this again. After this, meaning the Red Sea crossing, Moses, by the command of God, whose providence is over all, led out the people of the Hebrews into the wilderness, that he might root out the evils which had clung to them by a long-continued familiarity with the customs of the Egyptians. Right? But before we go to Exodus 17, kindly open your Bibles to Psalm 95. As we would see, makakatulong to sa pag-aaral natin ngayon. Kasi Psalm 95 will be talking about the exact same thing that we'll be looking at. Psalm 95. Let's start from verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture. And the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the days of Massa in the wilderness. So, we are seeing events in Exodus 17. At sabi ng writer, describing what happened in Exodus 17, the psalmist calling us to a very important reminder, listen, learn from the mistakes of the Israelites. And today, as you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts. Right? Sabi nga rin, when your fathers put me to the test, verse 9, Psalm 95, and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work, they have. For 40 years, I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Again, Psalm 95 is describing what we will discuss today in Exodus 17. Again, as the psalmist, as the writer was calling his readers to remember what happened then, for them not to follow yung hard-headedness, yung pagiging stiff-necked ng mga taong ito. These people who has a short attention span, these people who have a short dependence span, these people who have a short gratitude span, sabi ng writer, matuto kayo ron. Having experienced the presence, the protection, and the provision of the Lord, Yahweh, the faithful one, the covenant-making, covenant-keeping God, learn from their mistake. So as we now go to Exodus 17, remember the last time we were together, we said that this can be likened into a university. We had three tests, diba? The first test was the bitter water in Mara. And we saw that God was just testing them. God laid upon them a statute and a rule. Na pag nanampalataya kayo, pag nag-obey kayo, pag nagtiwala kayo, I will take care of you. And we saw na nagreklamo sila, but in God's grace, God made the bitter water into sweet water. The second test, the lack of food. We heard them, nagreklamo na naman kay Moses, di ba? Di ba, ang dami naming karne at tinapay doon. Then we sit on pots of meat and bread. And what did God do? He opened the heavens and provided manna. And so as we open chapter 17, we see hindi lang test ito. And they will fail big time in this test. You see, in Psalm 95, the psalmist specifically mentioned two words na makikita natin sa Exodus 17. Meribah and Massa. To teach us about the grumbling of the people then. To remind them and us, tayo na nandito ngayon, this side of the cross, kung paano ang Israelites, yes, they have failed the test in the wilderness university, but you would see, friends, this would transition into a sort of a courtroom drama. Kasi that point, sa Exodus 17, we would see how Israel took their own God to court. And I will show you later why I say so. So, as we continue this narrative, we see the nation of Israel, but more importantly, we see a message from God to you and for you today. As we ourselves often struggle with our own wilderness experiences, diba? So, as we see these people failing another test, we see the unfolding before us of a courtroom drama. And sa ating pag-aaral, 7 verses lang po, we will have 7 headings. 3 headings. 7 verses, 3 headings. Okay? We would see a charge will be presented. Mayroong kaso ihahabla, right? And we would see a verdict will be presented, will be rendered. A charge will be presented, a verdict will be rendered, a sentence then will be executed. From verse 1 to 4, we will see a charge will be presented. Verse 5, we will see a verdict will be rendered. And verse 6 to 7, we will see a sentence will be executed. Let's look at the first heading. Right? Are you ready? I hope you have your Bibles with you. I hope you have your notebooks with you. right? As you take down notes, I hope you'll be taking down notes. We will be having a blast here. Look at the first heading. Look at verse 1, 2, 4. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, encamped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled. That's a very important word. Underline yung word na yan. People quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people, verse 3, thirsted there for water. And the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." So as we open chapter 17, as we again sabi natin, from Wilderness University, we would see a wilderness courtroom. And as this drama unfolds, we see the plaintiffs, the complainants. Sino yung complainant? Israel. And as we see the complainant, we also see the defendant, si Moses, representing God. Sasabihin nyo, bakit ko nasabing courtroom ito? Ay maganda na nga sana yung university kasi there are tests. Again, look at that word in verse 2. The word quarrel, right? That word in our Bibles, in the original language, is not the ordinary misunderstanding or argument, yung quarrel. Hindi po yun yun. The word here in the Hebrew literally is means to bring a lawsuit against. Ihabla, magreklamo. This is a legal term. Whenever we see this in Scripture, especially the Old Testament, it has a legal connotation to it. So, kaya ako nasabi parang courtroom ito. Kasi here is like Israel filing a lawsuit against Moses and against God. So, para lumalabas, it's people of Israel versus Moses and God. Kaya nga sabing ganun ni Moses, di ba? Why do you quarrel with me? A legal term, in quarrel. Why do you test? Another legal term. Why do you test the Lord? In effect, Moses was saying, why did you file a lawsuit against me and against God? That's what's happening here. On a side note, we can see here as well a timeless truth. Complaints and grumbling against God's messengers are complaints and grumbling against God Himself. So we need to learn that in this section. At tingnan natin, may very serious charge ang mga Israelites against God through Moses. And what is the charge? They are charging God of abandonment. They were charging God of abandonment in the desert. And again, friends, as we look at the passage, diba? Sabing ganun sa verse 1, they moved on from the wilderness by stages. Meaning, phase by phase, location to location. At saan sila nandun ngayon? They are in a wilderness, in the wilderness. They are in a desert. So imagine the heat. Imagine the struggle. Sabihin natin, di ba nag-provide naman ang Panginoon sa kanila? Yes, He did. Ano nakita natin ginawa nila? Look at verse 1 again or look at verse 2 again. Di ba? Therefore, walang mainom ang tao. Sabi nga sa Rephidim. Verse 2, therefore the people gathered together and prayed to God for provision and they waited patiently. Diba hindi? If only we read it that way, it would have been different. But it reads, the people quarreled with Moses. Nakipag-away. Again, in the context, they filed a complaint against Moses and against God. Tapos sabi niya, give us water to drink. And you say, what's wrong with asking water? Diba? Nauuhaw sila eh. They're in a desert anyways, diba? So, sasabihin ng ilan sa inyo, huwag naman tayo masyadong hard sa Israelites. It's normal for them to ask for water. Pero mga kapatid, hindi naman lang ito paghingi. It's demanding. They are demanding God. They are demanding from God. And more than that, behind the demand was a charge. They were filing a lawsuit against God. And so again, ano yung charge? They are charging treason. Abandonment and treason. And treason is failure to fulfill covenant promise. Ano nga yung promise ng Panginoon sa forefathers ng Israel? Remember the promise that he made, that God made to Abraham? An extension to his people, to his descendants? I will make you a great nation, di ba? I will multiply you as the sands of the seashore. Tama? Right? And what do we see here? They were probably saying, multiply us as sands of the seashore. Teka lang, we see a lot of sand here. Nasa desierto kami. Pero mamamatay na kami, mamamatay ang anak namin, mamamatay ang aming mga alagang hayop. Right? Are you serious? We will die here. We will die of thirst. Ano sabi nila sa verse 7? Is God indeed among us or not? Right? Napakaseryoso na charge ito. Na paghabla ito. What they're basically saying is that I'm not sure kung mapagkakatiwalaan pa itong Diyos na ito. I'm not sure. Can't he see that I'm dying? My children are dying. My livestock are dying. Can I really trust you? That is their lawsuit. Yun yung kanilang paghabla sa Diyos. They can no longer trust God. Nakakatuwa, no? Nakakatuwa. Nakakalungkot pala. I mean, nakakatuwa yung play of words. Yahweh, the faithful one. And then they're saying, you cannot be trusted. And so they want out. It's as if they are saying, we want a divorce. Sabihin natin, how dare them? How can they be so ungrateful? Napaka-ingrato ng mga taong ito. How can they easily forget? And you know what? If Israel could talk to us right now, could talk back to us, as we say, ang kakapal na mukha ng mga taong ito. How dare them? How easily they forget? Siguro sabihin sa atin ng Israel, it takes one to know one. Because friends, how are we any different? How many of us have been in a situation where we asked the same thing? Where we thought of the same thing? When we face the frowning providence of God, how many of us have said, I don't want this anymore, I want out? Or sabihin natin, totoo ka ba talaga? Are you real? When we or even loved ones go through pain, when we are faced with the dark hours of the night, as Martin Luther said, how many of us face the temptation of saying, if God is good, why did He allow these things to happen to me? Kung totoo ka, ba't nangyayari sa akin? To, akala ko mabuti ka. And with the pandemic that we're going through, some would say, if God is indeed good, why would He allow things like this? Or we might say, if you're indeed true and if you indeed are loving, why do I have cancer? Why is my wife, why is my husband sick? Diba? We are as well guilty as charged. We thought of the same. We said of the same. If we would only be honest, I can be honest with you. I said of the same thing. I thought of the same thing nung 1 year old Sienna, and I thought God would take her. When we were rushing her to the hospital and she was all blue and foaming in the mouth, I asked the same thing. Sabi ko, Lord, ba't mo pa ako binigyan ng anak? Only to take her? Ba't mo pa ginawang 1 year old? Sana nung baby na lang. We all have in one way or another felt this way, thought this way. Kung hindi nyo pa naranasan to, praise the Lord, I'm happy for you. But I want you to know it will come. It will happen. That is the nature of the Christian life. The Bible doesn't promise all bliss, as if there will be no more trouble when you come to Christ. We don't read in Psalm 23 that there will be no more valleys of shadow of death. Diba? No, it reads, yea though, even though I walk through these dark shadow valleys, I will not fear, because you're with me. You are with me. In the world there will be trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The Israelites were facing trouble. They could have cried out to God for help. God has been so faithful, hindi po ba? But they have placed a complaint against God. And so what we see next is that the verdict will be rendered. So nakita natin, nag-place sila ng charge against God. We will see now in verse 4 to 5 that a verdict will be rendered. So Moses cried to the Lord, to Yahweh, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." We don't know, but yan nasabi yon, right? It could be that they were showing that intent or tendencies. And Moses said, "They are almost ready to stone me." Verse 5, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go.'" There are a few things that I want you to take notice of sa section na ito. Right? Let us observe the text. As Moses, with the elders of Israel, were passing before the people, everyone knows that there's something happening. Una-una, kasama niya ang mga elders. Therefore, they would serve as a jury. So, maglalatag na ng verdict. Right? Alam nila that Moses just spoke to God, right? And the verdict has been handed. And listen, they know that the verdict is guilty. You say, "Ba't ko nasabi yun?" Again, the elders were there to make up the jury. And what does Moses have in his hand? Anong meron tangan-tangan si Moses sa kanyang kamay? Yung staff, di ba? Yung kanyang stick. Nasabihin nyo ilan sa'yo, syempre matanda na siya eh. He is old, he needs his walking stick. But notice how the writer, Moses himself, makes it very obvious what this stick is for, what this staff is for. It is not just to guide his steps, it is not just to serve him as a walking stick. It was the same stick, it was the same staff that he used to judge Egypt. The same stick that struck the Nile and took away Egypt's drinking water, turning the water into blood. Remember that? This staff represents the power of God, particularly the judgment of God. So, alam na mga taong ito, "Oy, naku, grabe. Nagreklamo tayo and now we're charging God of this and now here's the verdict. Oh, guilty. Guilty." Can you feel the tension? May I ask you, sino ang guilty? Is it Moses? Is it God? What just happened? What just happened? Nahati ang Red Sea, right? Almost 3 million people passed through on dry ground. And as they were able to pass through, the Egyptians followed. And was it dry? No. Kaya nga sila naipit doon, right? And what happened next? The same water that was that parted to let Israel go through engulfed, swallowed the Egyptians. Has God been unfaithful? I don't think so. Bitter water in Marah. God making it sweet? Has God been unfaithful? They were hungry. What did God provide for them? Manna from heaven? And how did the passage describe this out of this world bread? they taste like honey. Sabi ng ilan sa atin, oh, ano ngayon, matamis lang siguro, right? So, matamis siya. It's just as sweet as honey. It's a sweet bread. But honey is very special to Israel. It's not only used in a literal sense that it's sweet, but it's also used in a figurative sense to depict richness and plenty and abundance, a land flowing with milk and honey. God gave them the best. God has been faithful? Yes, He has. Hindi guilty ang Diyos ng treason. God was not guilty of abandonment. Who is guilty of treason? Who is guilty of abandonment? Israel is. Ang Israel ang guilty rito. So the charge was presented. The verdict was rendered. And as we go to our last heading, we would see a sentence reading. Please pay attention again to the language. So Israel is guilty of treason. Okay? Israel is guilty of abandonment. Ano ba ang sentensya sa treason or abandonment? Ano ba ang reaction ni Moses sa verse 4? Diba sabi niya, what shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. The penalty for treason, the penalty for abandonment is death by stoning. The legal punishment for breaking a covenant promise is death by stoning. You will be stoned to death. Babatuhin ka hanggang mamatay ka. And if that is the case, listen, and if Israel is guilty, and God is not, and God is innocent, what must God do? What must God do to the whole nation of Israel? He must put everyone to death. He must kill everyone in the nation. Pero may problema tayo. What did God say? What did God promise to Abraham? What about the promised Messiah, di ba? That would come from this nation. How can he fulfill his promises to Abraham, his promise to of giving us the Messiah that would crush the serpent's head if he would kill this nation? If he would give Israel what they deserve. Diba? It poses a dilemma. In Genesis 15, remember that passage? Yung panahon na nakipag-covenant ang Panginoong Diyos kay Abraham? Remember, God put Abraham into a deep sleep? Diba? Meron silang hayop, hinati nila, and they laid it in such a way na merong gap wherein sa kanilang kultura, if you make a covenant, both parties would go through that. Diba? It's as if saying, ang sino man, anyone who would fail, anyone who would miss, anyone who would break this covenant, mamatay na siya. What happened to these carcasses, these animals, ought to happen to the one who would break the promise. Remember what happened? Remember what happened? God Himself, diba, passed through. God making a covenant with Himself. So what would happen now? Look at verse 6. Exodus 17 verse 6. Behold, I stand before you, and there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and the water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. And Moses did so, and in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord among us or not? When we read this casually, when we read this parang just for the sake of reading, it would sound like ang Diyos nag-provide ng tubig para sa Israel. Tapos tapos na, yay, praise the Lord, may milagro. But I want you to notice two prepositions that makes this passage wonderful. Look at verse 6. Behold, I will stand before you. Yung before. that preposition, before you, and on the rock. Before you and on the rock, they are significant prepositions, and they are wonderful. Before you, this is significant. What do we have before us? In Exodus 17, yes, it's more than a test. It's a courtroom drama. We have a legal scene here. We have a courtroom scene here. Who stands before the court? Is it the judge? Is it the lawyer? No, it is the accused. It is the criminal who stands before the court. It is the defendant who always stands before the court. How does it read, friends? How does it read? Behold, I, Yahweh, will stand before you. God Himself stands before this court. And then He said, I will stand on the rock. And that's very beautiful. God was symbolically identifying Himself with the rock. He was saying, from that specific moment, I am that rock. And some of you would say, alam naman natin yun talaga eh. We read from scripture that God is our refuge, that He is our rock. He's our refuge, He's our hiding place, diba? He's our firm foundation. And yes, those are true. But there are passages in scripture, friends, that describes God as a rock, as the rock, in a slightly different fashion. Deuteronomy 32 verse 15. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, stout, and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him and scoffed at the rock of his salvation. Deuteronomy 32 verse 18. You were unmindful of the rock that bore you, that fathered you. And you forgot the God who gave you birth. Psalm 78:35. They remember that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer. Psalm 89, verse 26. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Psalm 95, verse 1. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Well, what is the common theme dun sa ating binasa mga verses? What is the common theme in these passages? God is not just a rock because He is a sure foundation, that He is firm, that He is our hiding place, that He is our refuge. He is also a rock who fathers, who saves, who redeems, who brings life. God indeed is a firm foundation, and we praise Him for that. We rejoice in that. But in this amazing story, in this section of this Old Testament narrative, where Israel brings a charge against God, but in the end declared guilty by God Himself, we see God standing in place of the accused. He will take their place. May treason daw. May abandonment daw. God was not the one who was unfaithful. Israel is. But for God's promises to stand, He Himself must take their place. He Himself must be punished for their sake. He will be their substitute. Is God guilty? A big N and a big O. No. He is faithful. He is. He has been. We've seen that. Diba? And this is the only way that God can fulfill His promise to Israel. Because Israel cannot keep their end of the bargain. They cannot. They simply cannot. God being innocent, God was innocent, and God is innocent, yet stood before the court, stood on the rock to replace the nation, to take the blow meant for them. God receives their blows. And so as Moses lifts his staff and strikes the rock, what was the result? Water coming out of the rock. But this is not just any water. This is life-giving water. Water as in the language of John chapter 4. John 4:13, Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." What a wonderful, wonderful presentation of the gospel. And so, dear ones, the rock in Masa is not just any rock, but the rock of ages. Because in the fullness of time, Paul, in writing the Corinthians, talked about the Israelites to encourage them and us, because we too would go through wilderness wanderings. We too would have that tendency, have that temptation to question God, to demand of God, to charge God of treason. He said, remember the lessons from the story. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 to 4. "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." Imagine, friends, 1,500 years before you and I were born. I mean, years before you and I were born, Jesus was thinking about us. He knew that we would fail, as Israel failed. He knew our tendencies. But as we were called from eternity past, before the foundations of the world, He would keep His end of the bargain. He will be the faithful substitute. And He did. Remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross, when they pierced His side, anong lumabas? Hindi lang dugo, hindi ba? Water came out. In Revelations 22, as we see the consummation of everything, ano ang nakit natin na nag-flow sa throne ng grace where Jesus sits? Water. Friends, as we look at Exodus 17, where we see Israel failing, and Israel had the audacity to question God if He is faithful, Israel demanding God to give me what I want, to give me what I need. Israel charging God with unfaithfulness, even though He is faithful and has been faithful. It has been only a short time where when they saw how God provided for them, how easily they forget. Israel is a story not just confined to the nation Israel. Israel is our story. Because we see ourselves in their predicament. But God being rich in mercy, but God being so faithful, while we were yet sinners, died for us. While we were enemies, while we were helpless, He took our sin, reckoned as His, and imputed on us His perfect righteousness. And when He received the blows that were meant for you and me, that proved that grace is indeed amazing. We're not just looking at Old Testament narrative, we're looking at the gospel. Amazing grace. Friends, we need to put amazing back to grace. Remember, imagine, friends, how God has been so faithful to you. How God has been faithful to me, to you and me. And I pray that as we go through the wilderness, as we go through the dark, frowning providences of God, may we look back to His faithfulness. May we be on our knees, even though we cannot understand at times, even though in the frailty of our hearts we have that tendency to question Him. May we be on our knees and pray out loud, "I cannot understand, but I will trust You. I will trust You." Let us learn from this nation. Let us learn from this nation. And let us rejoice. Let us marvel. Let us shout out the fame of the grace coming from this amazing, amazing God. The gospel in the Old Testament. The gospel in Exodus. I praise the Lord for His amazing grace. Aren't you? Let's come before Him and glorify in this grace. Thank You, Lord, for teaching us. Thank You for showing us our frailty. Thank You for showing us our own tendencies, Lord, how we usually find ourselves questioning You. When it's so easy to praise You when things are going our way. Pag masaya, pag masarap. But when things get rough, we always blame You. We always ask You, "Are You even among us? Are You even near?" Lord, we thank You for this wonderful section of this Old Testament narrative. And we pray that grace has been highlighted. Grace has been made so amazing right before our eyes. And may we marvel, and may we appreciate, may we depend and trust on that amazing grace coming from a very faithful, trustworthy God. We praise You. We thank You for teaching us. Bless the remaining hours of the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank You for studying with me. Praise the Lord for what He has taught us. See you all next week. God bless you.